Hi, everyone.
Hi, how's it going?
Welcome to House Seats. I had to put my mic closer to myself here. It's twice the Bryce here. Hi. We'll explain why there's a cutout of me, which you really can't actually see the whole body because I think the head's kind of cut off. But
Mitch is leaning backwards slightly.
My mic's having issues. There we go.
It's got attitude.
It's got attitude today.
The cardboard cutout is over it.
I know. Oh, I'm good now. So listen, we already have our first comment before we have even gotten started on our chat room here. And we were talking about chat rooms. If you remember chat rooms back in the day. When you were in your 20s and you were on AOL chat rooms talking to people you shouldn't be talking to.
I don't have experience.
You never did this.
No,
you never did this. So we have, first of all, we have comments from Steve. Hi, Steve.
Well, hi, Steve.
Thank you for being a loyal watcher of House Seats Presents. Oh, we have to move cardboard, Bryce, now so you can all see me. Bye.
Oh, no.
We'll explain why he was here.
His head almost fell off. All right.
He's beheaded.
Now he's just sad.
You'll be happy to know that Andrew Wright is watching at home. I think so. It just says Andy. I'm guessing that's Andrew Wright because it says this ought to be interesting. Mm-hmm. So, hi, Andy.
Well, you know, it could be. There's more than one Andy.
There is more than one Andy in life. But if this is a particular Andrew, we hope you're recuperating well. Yeah. Andrew Wright, of course, House Seats Presents man in charge.
Mm-hmm.
He is home after a previous guest as well on the show here talking about set lists and things. He is recovering from knee surgery.
Yep.
So we wish you a speedy recovery, chicken soup, all of those things.
He went in for a reconstruction.
Yes.
He's getting a RoboCop knee.
Yeah, he's going to be a superhero when he comes back.
He will be able to jump leaps and bounds.
I have a feeling like they just gave him like a really good knee that'll just give him like a leg up on everyone else. Oh! Ow.
Well played, sir.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're going to recap some things from the week. And normally, we wouldn't have another third person in here, this cardboard friend. Mm-hmm. You can't see him now, but he's definitely, it's like he's my shadow. I was cleaning out my storage facility here this week, and I happened upon the cutout of Bryce, which, can you explain to everybody how this actually came into being? Because I think it was you guys the office. Who did this?
Mm-hmm.
The other Bryce.
I
will say I was thinner in this picture.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. Okay, bye.
Yeah. So there is a story.
Yeah.
There's a story about Bryce Part Deux.
Mm-hmm.
And cardboard Bryce. Mm-hmm. This all came about.
One dimensional Bryce.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Sure.
Really, really skinny Bryce from the side. So this all came about because I want to say this is maybe 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There was a period of time when we were in a different office location, mm-hmm. and you were crazy busy with DW Bistro, the restaurant, and just other projects on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And though our office at the time was very, very close to where you lived.
How many steps away?
In fact, it was about three or four doors away.
Right, yep,
yeah, literally. Yep. Like... Mm-hmm. Brother man could have gotten up and walked to our office.
I could have. And I did on occasion because I would walk in the door. You guys weren't there and you'd strategically place Bryce number two in front of the doorway and I would be scared.
That's the whole reason why this happened is because we never saw Bryce. So we decided let's make a fake one. That way we can ask it whatever we want and we can pretend it said yes.
Oh, I know.
So
we're
going to do a little paper caption that just said, sure, why not?
Uh-huh.
And so we could just, can I have a raise? Sure, why not?
And how many things did you get away with Bryce number two?
Yeah, everything. Because once again,
he
never
said
sure,
no.
Why not?
He never said no.
No.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So that's
I'm
the reason
sad.
For the season of Bryce Part Deux.
Gotcha. And now, who constructed this? I forgot who did this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I literally said this to Jay when I'm leaving the house. I'm like, I'm taking Bryce with me. And I don't remember who made him. It wasn't God who made this one. It was somebody else made this.
It was Nerda, our office manager.
She's the one. Oh, I remember.
She's the one.
It was Brianna.
That's right.
Life-size. Now it makes sense. So, all right.
So well, that's
thank you once again this for this wonderful piece of work here. I know he's cute. We'll keep him around.
So everyone, hopefully you've all recovered now.
Oh, he's like swooning in the distance here.
Oh.
See? He's much cuter than I am. I had more hair probably then too. Oh, and there went his head
again.
See? That's the problem with Bryce. He loses his head every now and then.
Well, no, it's like he's constantly in shame now.
Oh.
I'm
sorry.
But anyway, no. Carry on,
Eiler.
So, moving past fake Bryce, let's talk about this weekend. Now, there was something that maybe a couple people may have taken part in watching this weekend. I don't know. It's not a very popular event.
Right.
But Super Bowl 50. 50 years now of the Super Bowl.
Right,
and you think back to when it first started. I was not there,
no,
obviously. But
who were the teams that played the
But it was really cool because they did a recap,
You
know, of the history of the Super Bowl through the decades. Especially one of the pieces that was cool was hearing from all of the still living commentators who have had the experience of calling the Super Bowl over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that, now I can't remember his name, Nance.
Jim Nance?
Jim Nance, thank you.
Look at me, I don't even watch football, I know who that is.
So
that was Bryce number two.
Yeah,
he whispered that in my ear.
They did a really cool piece where Jim Nance was talking about just how, you know, growing up with his father, this was for his father who had had same experiences in the NFL and broadcasting and all that.
Yeah.
And so and just the people who he's met over the years and inspired him. And so it was really cool to hear him call the game yesterday as well.
Gotcha.
So yesterday, Super Bowl Sunday.
So you were watching that.
I did watch it.
You were interested in the outcome of the game as well?
You know what? Honestly.
Did you have any money on it?
I did not.
You did not.
I'll be honest, I grew up hating the Broncos.
Okay.
Here's the reason. My family's from Cleveland.
Right.
Okay. So I remember growing up going to Cleveland Browns games. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to ask you.
Once again, walking away with shame. No, when I grew up, there was Bernie Kosar and Eric Metcalf were like the two stars of the team. Eric Metcalf would run the ball back at almost every kickoff. He was kickoff returner extraordinaire. And then Bernie Kosar with his little side throwing arm.
I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway.
You're talking to someone totally game illiterate.
It was fun. My Uncle Pete always had season tickets growing up. So we used to always go to Cleveland Stadium, the old Cleveland Stadium. And every time they would play either the Broncos or the Steelers, there was hell to pay.
Gotcha.
Because those are the two biggest rivals with Cleveland.
Right.
Really only Elway. We hated Elway. Not that he's not a good guy. John Elway.
Ooh, I know another one. I'm playing Jeopardy here with my little bit of sports back.
Cleveland fans.
No. See?
It sounds like the start of a children's program.
but once upon a time.
Growing up, Cleveland fans just did not like John Elway because he was good.
Okay.
And he always won.
Is that how they feel about Peyton Manning now? Is that because this person always wins?
Right. Watching the game yesterday, honestly, I'm really not partial to either one, but I became more of a cheering for the Broncos.
Okay.
Because I felt like Carolina was a little too cocky.
Okay.
Going into the game.
You have Scott over there agreeing with you in the background.
Yeah, see? Because, you know, you had Cam Newton wearing his golden MVP warm-up shoes.
Yeah.
Cam Newton learned a big lesson.
Exactly. Maybe someone should show some humility.
Oh, well, that's always good in anything.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's interesting because I remember 2 years ago distinctly because Jay and I were trying to figure out, you know, where were we at each time the Super Bowl was going on? Because yesterday we went skiing. I have a picture of it. We went to Brianhead yesterday and did the anti-football sort of thing. Like, there was no one on the slopes, you know, to be honest with you. There was nobody out there except us. He got to relearn how to snowboard. I skied. Yes, that's awesome picture. I know.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no one there. I mean, I'm sure many places, maybe even Disneyland, certain places had a little less crowds because everyone was watching it. So we were trying to figure out where have we been every Super Bowl because we're not watching it. Except 2 years ago, I did watch because we were in Mexico, I think, and we were in a hotel in Puerto Vallarta, and this is how serious football fans are. It wasn't even the Super Bowl. It was the playoff game.
Yeah.
The 2 weeks before. See, I know the terms.
Mm-hmm.
And people were in the lobby now they were on vacation too. And they brought their Seattle jerseys because Seattle was playing
the Seahawks,
someone, I don't know, before they made it to the Super Bowl against the Broncos.
They were playing the Broncos.
They were playing the Broncos
and
Super Bowl, but their playoff game, these people were, I mean, they flew to Puerto Vallarta with their jerseys to watch the game. Yeah. That's how serious. I really people are nuts for this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the year. 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. That's the year that.
That's the year they lost.
The Seahawks. Yeah. Absolutely.
I watched that one, and
I
was rooting for the Seahawks because I was like, I was only one. There was only two of us in a room full of. I mean, it was the gayest Super Bowl party ever because I think it was like one straight guy there, and that was the husband of one of our friends. So it was already gay enough to begin with. I mean, we were obviously worried about halftime show, which I think that was Bruno Mars. So I was rooting for the Seahawks with one other person quietly because everybody else was a big Broncos fan. So they won. And that's the only time I really paid any attention to the game. However, we did pay attention to the halftime show yesterday. Yes. I did get off the slopes in time. We watched the halftime show. So
as we are,
we're progressing to this
in the world of entertainment with How Seats and How Seats Presents. Let's do a little recap of the halftime show. Thank you, Bruno.
There you go.
So
that came from Bryce.
Bryce was singing. He was singing. He's really
a man of many talents. He is fine.
So yesterday, the halftime show, was a lot of hype around it, a lot of different opinions, because at one point in time, there was, there was the rumor that Metallica was going to come out and do the halftime show, and that I'm sorry, they would have rocked it. They would have rocked it.
Taylor Swift would have rocked it.
Taylor Swift and Metallica together. Right. That would have been funny and awesome.
And predicting this for next year right now.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Like Taylor Talica. There you go.
Nice.
But yeah, so it started with Coldplay.
Right.
Right? So they were the headliners.
Right.
With special guests, I think, to save the day.
Absolutely.
Bruno Mars and Beyonce.
Yeah. Bruno Mars in his Michael Jackson pajamas.
Yeah, with his reflective mirror glasses.
That was very strange.
It was really strange. Kind of like doing a Jabberwockies type of dance.
Yeah.
Or
New Edition. It had a little Bobby Brown.
It was strange.
Yeah.
So let's start with Coldplay. And then we'll just do a quick recap and move on to other things. But Coldplay.
Oh, no, we like this conversation.
What's
football
strange to me about Coldplay headlining the Super Bowl halftime show is, we were talking a little bit before the show started. Even though they're great, and I love listening to them on the radio.
Yeah.
The thing about Coldplay in a Super Bowl halftime show situation.
In an American Super Bowl situation.
They're a little bit of a downer.
A downer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not like, they don't have that wow factor oh my gosh, listen to how amazing their vocals are, because most of what they do is popping up into their falsetto.
Right.
Into their little soft, breathy voice, which is great on the radio, but not so great when you're trying to impress an audience of millions.
Right.
Yeah. See?
Bingo. No, did you find it interesting that for them, especially when they were doing more, of the uniform songs together in unison with Beyonce and Bruno Mars or even when they were doing it on their own, they were doing like U2 numbers because they were flashing back to all the past artists who have done halftime shows, and they started singing like the U2 songs. So they were singing, you know, they only had a little bit of time to do their own songs when they were actually going into this more inspirational, if you will, music.
Right.
As Scott was saying earlier, when we started the show, as a sort of up with people aspect.
Right.
It was very, bring the audience, almost like those Disney moments at the end of like, you know, well choreographed things. Because one of the articles I read, which was interesting, was Beyonce and Bruno hit their marks, but back in the day when it was Britney Spears, NSYNC, and I forget what other band it was, they weren't out to hit their marks choreography. They were out to have fun. And this was obviously evidently like camera one, camera two, go this, go that. So you had Bruno against Beyonce at one point. So it was very, visually they hit their marks, but it didn't look like they were having the greatest of fun.
Two things. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, two things that
they've been on before
stuck out to me as far as the performance was, number one, I just kind of couldn't get over how much Coldplay's lead singer Chris Martin.
Yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't quite get over, and in fact it made me feel a little weird, how much he was hopping. He seemed to be hopping. like he had an imaginary imaginary rope that he was jumping over and over and over. And then
you're at the Super Bowl, you're jumping. You've now made it. You've made it again, but you've now made it in the big time. You're now a Super Bowl
So he was
star.
He was hippity hopping his way through the halftime
show. I probably would be if I was on the halftime show, or to be honest with you.
And another thing that I would have loved to see was Beyoncé's reaction when they told her that she was going to have to be performing and dancing in the grass.
Ooh.
With her heels.
With her heels. Mm-hmm. I think she almost had a moment where she might have tripped. That's what we
Well, that's
watching.
Because like wearing heels is like one just big ass cleat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cuz you are stuck. You can't go anywhere.
They had to repair the divots in there, like
one
in polo.
6-inch heel.
Exactly.
So I would have loved to hear what Beyoncé had to say.
After, yeah.
Like the, oh no, you didn't.
She's going to call in, I think, in,
yeah,
in the next
Well, I'm minute, sure yeah. she will.
Yeah, she will. Gotcha.
But yeah, so I mean.
So as a performer, so you're watching this on that aspect there. This
well,
is
sure.
good. This is good. So you, wearing heels.
I actually did. You know what's funny?
No, I know you're going somewhere with this because
I
saw it in your eyes when we started talking about it.
I did. I did recently. actually, I did both the past couple months.
Yeah.
On aside from working for House Seats, we've been over this a little before. I'm also a performer, actor,
yep.
singer.
Yep.
And I still perform here in town and do the occasional gig out of town as well. And one of the companies I work for is a really cool murder mystery
mm-hmm.
company.
Yeah.
And one of the stories that I did, it's kind of set up like you have an outline,
yeah.
but all of the actors who are cast in each performance, they know where it's going and who killed who and mm-hmm. what happens, but it's all improv to get there.
Right.
So it's way fun because you're making up the story and adding things as you go along.
Right, right.
And it's super cool for the audience as well. It's set up kind of like a dinner theater atmosphere.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the characters that I played recently in this murder mystery was I start in full drag as a woman.
Oh, look.
Oh, how about that?
He pulled you up.
Hey, that touch of mystery and more. Yep, that's me.
There you go. Oh, I like
that.
So,
Touch of Mystery and More Entertainment Group. Free plug.
Yeah.
But it's a great company. And one of the characters that I played was a woman
uh-huh.
who, full, I was a woman, a really ugly one, but I was a woman in 6-inch heels.
Oh, and, we're going to find photos for our next show for this one. Oh,
and after halfway through the show, you realize that this woman is actually, it's a Tootsie moment.
Yeah.
Because there's a reveal and she's like, right. I'm not Evelyn Drawbridge. I'm Andrew Drawbridge. Yeah. So.
Gotcha.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. But yes, I was looking at the halftime show
from all the
from a
of,
performer's perspective. And
do you think, I mean, obviously it's gratifying as a performer to probably get to that level. To be a halftime show performer because let's face it, that's obviously why they're getting, you know, a lot of the women and myself to watch the Super Bowl just for that. Hey, I had my choice of either driving home from Brian Head or stay and watch the halftime show. And then we left right after that.
But what about the commercials?
No, I wasn't.
There are some weird commercials.
No, we watched the one with the superhero thing, whatever.
Well, yeah, but did you, there was another, there's like a commercial phenomenon now that's like, it's blown up all over YouTube and all over Facebook and all
from
that. Oh, yeah.
The Facebook.
During the game, it was this one, I couldn't pay attention to what it was because I was so weirded out by this puppy baby monkey. Puppy monkey baby.
Gotcha.
And it was this little, literally a puppy monkey baby running around freaking everyone out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I did. And I had no idea what they were even advertising because all I was focusing on was just being weird.
Gotcha. Were you in a bar watching Super Bowl or were you at home?
I was in my own living room.
Okay.
Yeah. My girlfriend, Amanda, had to work.
Gotcha.
So
she was just you by yourself?
Me by myself. I got some chicken wings.
People really do like
And I got some beers.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a little party for myself.
Well, switching gears on Super Bowl to more theatrical elements.
Yes, let's do that.
Well, on the same line of seeing it in a bar, seeing it at home, we decided, Andy, who's also not here, who's watching. Hi, Andrew.
Cheers, buddy.
Yes, cheers. Oh, so this is from Scott. Producer Scott brought us some rum.
It's tasty.
It's
rum
really
too.
Good. It's really tasty.
We should show that. We should advertise the bottle so maybe
here, put it with
they'll
Bryce
give
number.
Us
no, I'm just kidding.
A free
this
crate
is
of
delicious. Diplomatico. It's Venezuelan. It is really smooth.
It's very diplomatic.
So when I was on the slopes yesterday, I committed the crime of, you know, carrying a flask in my pocket.
Yeah,
on a Sunday, because apparently they don't sell it on Sunday either. So we bought a bottle, which I'm going to bring Scott. He loves Crown.
Is there a law about drinking and skiing?
I don't. I think there is if you're skiing on the Bunny Hill. And you're pulling out a flask in front of children. Mm-hmm. I was trying to be really good about doing it, but I haven't skied in a while, so I was a little bit nervous. I had my EDM tunes in my ear. Jay was learning to snowboard. I was kind of skiing past him because I was, you know, at one point I gave up.
I could just see like the, come ski with Uncle Bryce, kids.
Ew, no, yeah. No, 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 that, no, it, that would be with him.
It's Venezuelan rum.
But this is really smooth, really good. So trying to get back to the bar aspect, what I was saying is we are starting a new series. So we did the set list.
House Seats Presents.
Now we're doing House Seats Presents side by side. So inside the Dueling Piano Bar at New York, New York, we're doing this Saturday.
That's right. See,
it is Times Square Bar. It's awesome. If you've ever been there, the Dueling Piano guys are amazing. Now it's the Dueling Singers.
That's right.
On our
and the
side
cool thing about side by side with House Seats Presents is
I love this idea. I love
first of all, the cool thing and first about House Seats Presents is that it's limitless. There is no limitation to what we can create production wise. So we started with the set list. We've already done an entire season at Vinyl over at Hard Rock.
Then reprised it.
We just did another performance of Jagged Little Pill with some of the greatest female rockers in town at House of Blues. They liked it so much at House of Blues at Mandalay Bay that we did it at Vinyl that they actually asked us to do it in their own venue again.
Yep.
And packed crowd once again.
Really awesome. So
in continuing with House Seats Presents, Andrew Wright has created another series called Side by Side. And like Bryce said, this takes place at the Piano Bar in New York, New York's Times Square area. What better place to do a traditional piano bar style concert featuring a lineup of the greatest vocalists in town with some of the most talented piano players, musicians in town, side by side, doing themed performances. So each second Saturday of each month, matinee performance at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
What better is there to do on a Saturday afternoon?
Right. Besides watching football's over now.
Yeah. So go to New York, New York, see a show.
Yeah.
You know, Get yourself something
nice
to drink.
Our
sit back,
set
relax.
Lists have started later. This is an opportunity for people who haven't seen the 11 o'clock showtime. We start with that. Who get a chance to see at 2 o'clock?
Two o'clock
on Saturdays.
Yeah.
This awesome talent.
So each single side by side performance has a different theme.
Yeah.
They are all popular, and if one is not your bag, the next one probably will be. The one that we're starting with this coming Saturday, February 13th at 2 p.m. New York, New York, is Side by Side House Seats Presents The Rat Pack.
The Rat Pack.
So it's the best of the Rat Pack music and the Rat Pack era.
It's good for the Valentine's President's Day weekend to do that music.
Now our cast that we have assembled for the Side by Side The Rat Pack, we've got Eric Jordan Young.
Yep. He's in Shaken at the Planet Hollywood.
Yeah, Shaken.
Nice.
I-N apostrophe.
But he is very much a... Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. He is that your little woman
that's
from
my Shaken.
Oh, that's not your character from the murder mystery.
Oh, no, I went full out with that.
He is also a really talented Sammy Davis Jr. too,
he is.
Right? Yeah, so...
I saw him... The first time I saw him was in Vegas, the show.
Gotcha.
At Planet Hollywood, the Sax.
So he's a very seasoned performer.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a really cool guy, too. Just very positive, energy and happy.
Hi, Eric.
So hi. But we're happy to have Eric Jordan Young in Side by Side.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Steve Judkins.
Okay.
And he's an Aussie, if anyone knows Steve or has ever met him. Super, super sweet guy. Just really, really kind human being and extremely talented.
Nice.
Just very... versatile vocals. I believe he's actually performing, I got a message from him, he's performing this coming week, Friday night, at the Italian American Club.
Okay.
So
fun.
Yeah, so if anyone would like to check him out, check out the Italian
American
Club website.
They have really good meatballs
there,
too. They
do.
Yeah, they do.
So Steve is great.
Okay.
And then we have Jason Watson. Jason is another friend of mine and of House Seats and House Seats Presents. And I actually got the opportunity to perform with Steve Judkins and Jason Watson in a recent performance that we did at Sam's Town a few months back.
Gotcha.
But both the guys are great, and Eric Jordan Young, of course, is fabulous. So,
that's this Saturday.
Yeah,
is
anyone
the Rat
who checks it out is in for a great show.
Gotcha. And obviously, Eiler's being modest again. So our series continues also in March. Second Saturday in March, and it will be the music of Stephen Sondheim, which yours truly, Eiler, over here, will be singing in that show.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I've had the opportunity to perform in some great shows here in town.
Yeah.
You've
done Sondheim before.
Quite a few Sondheim musicals. I love doing Sondheim because it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's very wordy and musically hard.
Yeah.
So it's very challenging as a performer, and I get to share the stage at New York, New York in March with Gret Menzies and Kelly Albright. Two That'll fantastic awesome. Ladies and yeah. very talented as well.
But I think what it's really paying homage to with you guys performing is, you know, what Andy's been able to reach together is the venue itself. The venue of the Times Square Bar and the fact that you're matching up this music to fit that. And right. to, because there's a lot of venues in town, let's face it, but, you know, it's a way to theme it together and mm-hmm. put it in a way where people are going to be, you know, they're going to be in the moment of it,
right.
very much in the moment of hearing the music in the proper place to hear it.
Exactly. Well, you think about, I mean, it literally is the perfect place to do this series.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I lived in New York for almost 6 years.
Yeah.
And going back to my time in New York, there was that traditional Broadway cabaret.
Right.
That, you know, you go to Joe's Pub mm-hmm. if you want to, you go to Don't Tell Mama in Manhattan,
yeah.
not the one in Fremont. You can if you want yeah. Fremont, but the one in...
we love you there.
The one in Manhattan and the Rainbow Room
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Rainbow Lounge. Those are places
the Village
that
Vanguard,
were... exactly.
The things, yeah,
those
right.
were traditional right. Broadway musical theater right. cabarets that it's being recreated now by yeah. House Seats Presents at New York, New York.
Well, and I think what's interesting, and I was talking about this to John Katz this morning about... we were chatting about performance venues because, you know, Mark Chinook, who we had on here the last couple of weeks ago, he's working on a venue down here to do his own.
That's right.
He does Monday's mm-hmm. Dark. He's going to have his own permanent place. He has his days are numbered in Rock of Ages now. So, you know, we had him on talking about venues. And I think, you know, even was as we discussed internally about, you know, restaurant venues or the Italian American Club or places where talent can showcase that sort of ties in to what you're doing. You know, we've been... We were talking about that. Mark and I were talking about this, and I think even Jeff was talking about it when we were talking about prior. Is that some of these venues are coming back, or the idea of that show that connects with the audience is coming back, like mm-hmm. Matt Goss, other shows that try to bring the showroom together with what you're doing.
Right.
That will, you know, teach the people that this era of show is not gone. That is what Vegas was all about back in the day. Yeah. It's not all theatrical shows. It's, you know, it is connecting with that audience in that more intimate way. And I think that's one of the things that Side by Side will be able to do yeah. because it is a smaller venue. It is a chance to be up close and personal with you, the performer, that we somehow miss. We can't all perform at the Smith Center in Reynolds Hall, but we can perform in the, you know, the smaller intimate way that the piano yeah. bar or any other place offers for that matter.
And it's important to remind people that there is a place for it.
Yeah.
There is a very important place in the entertainment industry
yeah.
for shows like this.
Right.
You know, of course, Cirque du Soleil is great.
Right. No, there's nothing against the big production show. It's just that when you want to go to a show where the talent really speaks for itself, because that's what you've been able to do with, you know, with Setlist, particularly with, you know, Jagged Little Pill, why the House of Blues, which is a larger venue, we still recreated an intimate atmosphere
yeah,
in
exactly.
that way that if Alanis was there, she probably would have loved watching the show, you know, that someone else was doing, because we connected everybody to what we were doing.
Yeah, they loved it.
Yeah. yeah. And even so where does the murder, now I'm thinking in my head about murder mystery again, because,
yeah.
you know, I'm still thinking about the questions you asked this one in the background here that you got away with. Tell mm-hmm. me about, he must have gotten off all that time to work to go do his thing by asking Bryce.
I think I did, yeah. And he said, sure, why not?
Go ahead. Yeah. Go do murder mystery in drag. We have a question from Steve. House Seats should have an after show. Oh, it's not a question. It's a response to, you know what? You're right. What happens after the show? I mean, you know, I think Oprah had one, like what happens after the show?
After the show? You mean like a tailgate in the parking lot?
Like exactly. Yeah. An after
Somebody
show.
Bring their flatbread.
Well, that's why we have there you go. That's yeah. why we have rum still here. But when I was talking about performance venues, you have done, there's Scott.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Woo.
He likes the idea. Thank you.
I know. You said for the murder mystery, you guys were doing that at a restaurant. Did you do that in a restaurant scenario?
We did.
You did it at
Lowry's.
Lowry's.
The Prime Rib. Yep.
Because, okay, so one thing I wanted to talk about real briefly, you know, DW, why we have a cutout of Bryce is because, you know, DW is the other business I run, and the restaurant is not a side business for any reason. We did a pop-up restaurant at the World Market. See, that was our little logo for the market. So, you know, the World Market, the giant buildings downtown, mm-hmm. only two times a year things happen there is when the interior designers are in town. You know, the restaurant that was there before left about 4 weeks prior to market happening. So we popped up in 72 hours a restaurant. So that's literally how it was. I mean,
successful.
Yeah, it was so awesome. But the space in and of itself, if you've ever been to the World Market or you were there in the restaurant that was before, it's a very large restaurant to fill. That's part of the reason why I think it struggled. But You know, we popped in just for that time.
It was packed.
And it was packed all the time. And the venue itself, you know, I was talking to Mark about this, and I was talking to Andy about this and talked to you, is that the venue would lead itself for a cabaret after hours mm-hmm. or a performance with people from either the Smith Center or from the Strip or from just the city itself that like to perform another space that can be created in that same manner. If you're talking about all those venues in New York that, you know, that embrace that togetherness of a lounge.
That's right.
We really, really want that to continue in Vegas. So I think for us, you know, step by step is the next step.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Side by side.
And, you know, or knee to knee. Andy, hope your knee's good. We'll bring chicken soup after this and we'll bring you a shot. So from us, I got to get some more real quick before we end this. You want some more?
Sure, okay. Why not?
A little more Venezuelan rum from Scott. Thank you very much. So we're going to do side by side this Saturday. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's
President's Day. We love you. Thanks.
Cheers, everybody.